G'day, Barry here. Thanks for downloading another Dead Set Legends podcast with Angela Sun and Andrew Embley.
This week we caught up with our good friend Damian Martin from the Wildcats, who told us where they went wrong this season.
And we spoke to Perth Glory's Rossin Griffiths about the two top teams going head-to-head in Melbourne.
Plus we had a chat to Eagles Premiership player Don Pike about the team heading to Port Adelaide. Yeah, we pick up the West today. On the front page there's a great West Aussie, Daniel Ricciardo, a good Newman College boy. Went to school with, I don't know if she went to school with our producer, Mandy Walsh, but was at the same school anyway. And the Australian
Grand Prix. Where are you going with this,
Barry? Oh, no, we're just having a laugh, our young years. And the Australian Grand Prix is on next weekend. So he's on the front. And on the back page, Damian Martin of the Wildcats. He's not even playing and he's made the paper. There's a photo of him on the back page and there's a photo inside on page 137, storming to the basket. And the headline goes, Wildcats push into Asia. Marto, you probably haven't even read the paper yet.
But, he's read it.
What can you tell us?
I honestly haven't read it, and that's the first I've heard of Asia, so I better go check my passport.
Oh, so you want me to read it to you? So apparently, and I believe there's no papers available in your area anyway, because you've bought them all. So it says here, the Wildcats will lead a renewed push into the Asian market this year with managing director Nick Marvin gathering support for a month-long tournament against China, Korea, the Philippines and beyond.
Yeah, well, look, it doesn't surprise me. That's where, you know, basketball has really taken off in the Asian countries. And I remember the Australian Boomers played the Chinese national team back when Yao Ming was playing, and they had 500 million people tune in to watch it for the game in Beijing. And then, yeah, you know, Bevo, our former coach, he's coached in the Philippines and helped out. And you're talking about tens of thousands of people who show up to watch their local competition. So there's definitely a market over there. And if Australia can jump on board and start opening the gates. And, you know, you look at the A-League and it certainly helps financially.
Now, Marto named best defensive player in the NBL again.
Done.
5 years in a row, mate. Is it
five
just too easy for you to defend at the moment or what?
No, certainly not. It actually makes me feel old when you say 5 years in a row. So chasing, and a lot of teams use their import position for their point guard and I get thrown on them to run around and try and slow them down a little bit. So it's nice to win an award that's voted on by your peers and other teams. So, it's pretty nice to hear a name read out at the end of the season.
Well done. Congratulations again. Now, talking about getting old, not long now till the wedding, hey? How long have we got now?
I know. I'm actually sitting in front of the computer trying to write out a script for Brad Hogg's wedding, so I'm focused on his wedding. And then after that, it'll turn to Brittany and myself. We're getting married the first weekend of April.
Ooh,
so, yeah,
not long.
Sneaking up on it.
Not long. Are you getting nervous?
I am. She mentioned, I was totally fine with it all. She's been fantastic. She even used my brothers to go and model the suits. I don't even know what suit I'm wearing.
typical groom.
She mentioned the first dance last night, and that's when the nerves started to hit. I was like, oh, God, I've got two left feet. Anything could happen. So I was like, babe, I've got a sore ankle. Do I have to dance? So apparently, even if I'm in a moon boot, I'll be dancing.
Right. But what about being a marriage celebrant? Surely you're going to have some pretty epic vows. that part will be easy.
Really
that
now
part will be
really on. We are going to write our own vows, so anything could happen. I definitely won't say that'll be impressive. That's for sure.
Now all our letterboxes are being renovated at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, well,
so
I've
that must
received
be why
an invite.
We haven't got the invite.
Yeah, I was going to say, have you got one yet, Barry?
Well, like I said, I'm getting renovated my letterbox.
Maybe mine got lost in the post.
Hey, I'm going to see, mate, if you don't invite me, I'll be sending one of those, what are they called, telegrams, and it'll go like this.
Telegram?
Got one from Adrian.
Do they still do them?
apologies. Okay, apologies, all right? Apology here from Adrian Barrich. He said he would have been here, but he's not invited.
It's funny because Ann just mentioned I am a marriage celebrant. So, Barrow, whenever you need my services, I'll give you a mate's rate.
He's got you there.
Marto, don't worry about the wedding invite for me, mate. But when you actually having the Buck show, would be really keen to come along.
I am nervous. I was definitely hoping that we'd be playing longer into the season and be part of the grand final series. But now that a weekend has opened up, Greg High has been all over the phone saying, what are we doing?
I bet.
I'm trying to keep it very low-key.
Yeah, just be very careful. You've got a very, very strong reputation to protect. Good on you, Marta. You're a good man. I presume we'll see you on the show soon too. Next week, are you on Embers next week?
Yeah, I think Marta's
on next week.
Looking forward to getting back in the studio and having a bit of fun with you guys. So thanks a lot for the call.
Ah, beauty. We'll grill you about those invites again next week. Good on you, Marta. Rostin Griffiths. G'day, buddy. How are you?
Very well, thank you, guys. How are you?
Now, this is a Melbourne victory. It's basically the top of the table clash, isn't it? And it could decide who finishes on top, who's the favourites to win the title, all that sort of thing. It's a massive game.
Yeah, it's massive now, especially Sydney FC got a win last night as well, so that puts them 1 point behind us as well. And obviously away to Melbourne. We've had a good results against them this season, but it's just going to be massive. I think there's a good crowd. I think it's almost sold out as well at Amy Park. So for our boys, a great occasion.
Now, you know what's happened too? Have you seen that the A-League has put pressure on basically the Victorian government to give them Etihad Stadium in case the Melbourne victory make the grand final? They want the Dockers kicked off, Dockers Bulldogs going, kicked off Etihad Stadium, sent down to Geelong so they can have the grand final there. Geez, a pretty cocky Melbourne victory. I haven't got there yet, have they?
Well, I'll tell you what, it'd be nice for that for a change as opposed to us getting bullied around from all the other coasts.
Yeah, exactly.
We get bounced from stadium to stadium, so it's normally us playing in Geelong, but yeah, it'd be a nice change. But Etihad's not the greatest football anyway. I think you have to bring binoculars to see the other side of the pitch. So, yeah, anyway, it'd be a nice occasion.
So how is it amongst the camp? Are the boys feeling a bit on edge, you know, ahead of this big game, or is everyone feeling pretty confident knowing that you guys are on top?
Yeah, surprisingly, it's been quite good. I think the week's training actually has been probably the best it's been. I don't know whether that's just you know, coincidence or what, but yeah, there's slight confidence. I think we've had good results against them, like I say, every game this season so far. I think 2 wins and a draw. So especially the last game, we came from behind 3-2 and managed to grab a draw, which was a big point. So yes, I'd say confident, really.
So that fella Berisha, he's the one we love to hate, isn't he? What's he like on the field? Is he? Can you be honest? Is he a good fella? Is he a bit of a halfback flanker? What is he?
He's a bit of a grub.
Is he really?
Yeah. He's, to be honest, though, I've spoke to him a couple of times off the pitch, and he's quite a nice guy. But on the pitch, there's a few players like that. That's obviously, you know, yourself have to change once they step over that line, and he'll do anything he can to win, and hopefully a few of our boys will do the same thing.
Yeah, Ross, and just have a look at the markets as we speak. Victory paying $1.80 for the win. Glory $4.25. Top of the table clash. $4.25 sound pretty juicy to me.
Worth $10.
Tell you what, lump on. Put your house on it.
It'll end up being a draw. What's the draw paying?
$3.75.
Oh. Hey, mate, we wish you all the best. Not that we punt or anything, and we don't encourage it, but they're good, amazing odds considering it. That's a good point, top of the table clash. So good luck, mate. We hope you get over the top of them and it could set up something for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks, guys.
Yes, and time to talk cricket. And our cricket expert now is Neroli Meadows from Fox, and she's been doing a fantastic job. She was
she
there
sure
with Australia in Auckland when we got pumped. We didn't get pumped, but in the end we lost by 1 wicket, but we didn't do very well considering. And she was there and she was interviewing the players after the game, so she's right across it. So let's cross to Neroli now and have a yak to her. Hey, Nez, how are you?
I'm well, Barra. How are you?
Yeah, how do you reflect on that trip to Auckland? It was an amazing game in the end, wasn't it? The fact that
It was phenomenal. We all thought it was going to be 350, 400 plus, and for it to end up being chasing 150 odd, it was absolutely amazing. And Mitchell Starc, I was standing next to Brendan Julian, of course, from Fox, just on the boundary as the game was coming to an end. And Mitchell Starc got those couple of extra wickets. We just looked at each other and he said, could he? Surely not. And we knew that there was 2 balls that the tail ender was facing before Kane Williamson was back on to face that final ball. And I knew that the moment that Kane was back in, then it was going to be all over. I didn't quite expect it to be all over so emphatically with a 6. But, yeah, pretty amazing stuff, that's for sure.
So do you think Australia's confidence has been, you know, broken a little bit by that loss? Because they do play Sri Lanka tomorrow. How do you think they'll go?
No, look, they had a huge confidence-boosting win over Afghanistan, and what a great story Afghanistan is as well. Of course, over there at the WACA, the highest total and the highest winning margin. But, look, the main thing is tomorrow they need to win this game. They say internally, look, you have to beat everyone to win a World Cup, so it doesn't matter who we play in the quarterfinals. But basically, they lose tomorrow, and they'll finish third in their group because both Sri Lanka and Australia have Scotland to come, and they'll both win that game, obviously. And at the moment, Sri Lanka are 1 point ahead of Australia. So they need to win this one. Otherwise, it looks like they're going to play South Africa in the quarterfinals. And then if they win that, they need to go across the ditch again and face New Zealand at Eden Park in the semi-final again. So pretty amazing stuff if they do lose it. But if they win, they'll finish top two and then it's a much smoother run to the final, hopefully, that they'll get to at the MCG.
Neroli, do you think there needs to be some kind of qualification process in allowing a few of these countries to participate in the World Cup, similar to what we see with the Soccer World Cup? Because for me, at times, it hasn't been a great look seeing some of these countries getting beaten the way they have been.
You see, I'm the opposite. I look at it and I think it's fantastic that, you know, for an Afghani bowler who a few years ago, this sport didn't even exist in their country. And now it's, you know, that remarkable story that it's the only sport that the Taliban would allow. So and that's why it's picked up with such popularity in the borders and that sort of thing with Pakistan. So they've to now be on a World Cup stage, you know, to smack Mitch Marsh for six or to get a wicket, you know, dismiss Aaron Finch, that's pretty amazing. And they're coming from a long way back. Look, the main thing is that they need to be able to be exposed to the top teams more often, and that's sure. just not going to happen because they don't have the time in the cricket calendar or the money, you know, for people to actually come and watch it happen. And India particularly, we know that they kind of rule the world and they're not willing to play against the minnows and lose money and lose fans and that sort of thing. But in my opinion, I think it's awesome and there's nothing better than watching, you know, Ireland beat the Poms and, you know, things like that that's... You know, it's great to see those sort of upsets, and they do come around every now and again.
Well spoken. Look, as we let you go, it's been amazing how many people don't like Shane Watson. Basically, he's been dropped from the team. He's a $6 million man. On social media, they were lining up to sort him out. Have you been surprised at the reaction? He seems like a nice fella.
Yeah, it is. Look, it's remarkable, isn't it? And the thing with Shane Watson is people don't seem to be able to tell between his cricketing ability and form and his personality. The vitriol, you're right, the vitriol, the level of it on social media is something quite remarkable. And the fact is, he is one of the nicest blokes in the Australian camp. He's lovely. You talk to him in person, he's a family man. He's just a really wonderful guy. He works so hard. He's always one of the last to leave the net. It's amazing to see the work that he puts into it, and he is quite humble. He does recognise that it's on his shoulders. The fact is, at the moment, he's not getting the runs that they needed. But it was interesting to see today, Ricky Ponting wrote an article basically saying it was a big mistake to drop Shane Watson, and says that it throws the batting order out of whack, and he's not comfortable with Maxwell coming in at number five. So certainly some talking points around the acting of Shane Watson. And just while I'm talking to you, Barra, Patrick Cummins is doing a bit of a run through at the moment. So from my eyes, it looks fairly unlikely that he'll be playing tomorrow because he's not doing much with the rest of the team on the far side of the SCG, just doing a few run-throughs. So Josh Hazlewood might keep his spot there as well.
Beautiful. Always good with the breaking news. Good on you, Nez. Thanks for joining us on the Dead Set Legends.